Radio Prague News.
President Václav Klaus has dismissed Agriculture Minister Ivan Fuksa. The government is discussing a proposal to have 11 political parties and movements dissolved. And a bronze statue honoring U.S. President Woodrow Wilson has been unveiled in Prague. President Václav Klaus has officially dismissed Agriculture Minister Ivan Fuksa, Prague Castle reports. The president thus acted at the behest of Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who announced the sacking on Tuesday, saying he had long been unhappy with Mr. Fuksa's performance and had warned him repeatedly. The news came as a surprise, however, both to the public and to Mr. Fuksa himself, who said it was caused by political reasons. Political commentators have widely stated that the dismissal was related to infighting within the Civic Democratic Party. Ivan Fuksa is the fifth member of the three-party cabinet to be dismissed since the government took power last year. The government is discussing a proposal to have 11 political parties and movements dissolved. The Ministry of the Interior says that 9 of the parties failed to submit their financial reports to Parliament or left them incomplete. The others are movements that were formed last year and have not yet established internal executive bodies. Of the parties in question, only the Eurosceptic right-wing Party of Free Citizens has made serious campaign efforts. None of the parties have elected officials. Once the government completes the proposal, it will be given to the Supreme Administrative Court. A bronze statue honoring U.S. President Woodrow Wilson has been unveiled near the main train station in Prague. A similar statue near the station, which used to be named after Wilson, was pulled down by German soldiers during World War II and is only now being replaced exactly 70 years later. Both President Václav Klaus and former President Václav Havel attended the unveiling, as did American representatives. Woodrow Wilson, who was President of the United States from 1913 to 1921, was an important backer of the establishment of Czechoslovakia in 1918 and aided the withdrawal of Czechoslovak legionnaires trapped in Russia at the end of World War I. The idea to recreate the 3.5-meter statue was initiated by the non-profit organization American Friends of the Czech Republic. Ex-President Václav Havel is marking his 75th birthday on Wednesday. A birthday party on Saturday was attended by over 500 guests, among them close friends from his dissident days, people from the arts world, politicians, writers, and diplomats. Mr. Havel's office says he has received congratulations from President Klaus, but also from countless foreign figures, including Bill and Hillary Clinton, the Emperor of Japan, and rocker Lou Reed. Former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, who was born in Czechoslovakia and is a close friend of Mr. Havel's, was also a guest of honor at Saturday's celebration and accompanied him at a public event on Wednesday. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly sunny with daytime highs of around 20 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, ex-president Václav Havel turns 75. We'll look at the significance of his life's work and legacy. A monument to American President Woodrow Wilson is unveiled in the Czech capital. And in today's spotlight, Christian Falvey will take you to the Prague Church of St. Martin in the Wall. And of course, we'll end today's show, as usual, with a Czech lesson. All that and more coming your way, so do please stay with us. Former Czech president and playwright Václav Havel on Wednesday turned 75. Hundreds of people from the Czech Republic and abroad have sent well wishes to the man who has become a symbol of the nation's yearning for freedom and democracy and whose life story astonished the world. Now, 8 years after leaving office, Mr. Havel is gradually turning into a legend in his own country as well, Jan Richter reports.
A podle litery paragraf šable, teď dumej o právu Havlíčku Havle. A podle litery paragraf
Singer and songwriter Jaroslav Hudka played this 1977 song to Václav Havel at his birthday party in Prague on Saturday. Hundreds of other guests came to celebrate with the playwright, former president, and the pivotal figure of the Czech opposition movement of the 1970s and 80s. In the eyes of many Czechs, Václav Havel has evolved from the untouchable dissident to the sometimes fervently adored philosopher king of the early 1990s, and eventually a scapegoat for the disenchanting post-communist reality. Since he left office in 2003, Mr. Havel has gone back to writing. He authored a new play, Leaving, and made a movie based on it. But through his activities in the realm of foreign relations, human rights and internal Czech politics, he has remained a distinct voice in the Czech Republic. Political commentator Jiří Pehe served as advisor to the president between 1997 and 1999. He thinks Czechs would have benefited more from Václav Havel had he remained a critical voice rather than an actor on the political scene.
We can see in today's world where we see people demonstrating anywhere from Madrid to the Wall Street in New York that what these people are saying resembles very much what Mr. Havel was writing in his seminal essay Politics and Conscience, for example. And this is something he abandoned when he became the president simply because he had to play the game of the system.
In spite of the many compromises Václav Havel made as president and the everyday intricacies and petty quarrels he was involved in during the 14 years in power, he is duly credited with raising the international profile of Czechoslovakia and later the Czech Republic. At home, the slogan Truth and Love will prevail over lies and hatred, which Václav Havel coined during the Velvet Revolution of 1989, has been ridiculed and dismissed by many, including the current president Václav Klaus. But abroad, the story of an artist turned political prisoner turned president never lost its appeal.
I sometimes jokingly told him when we worked together that he's engaged in what in English is called deceptive advertising, that because of his greatness, the way he's perceived in the West, a lot of Western politicians and intellectuals think that Czechs in general are like that. And that's why after he left the office, the outside world was sort of surprised by the very quick decline of the image of the Czech Republic.
Even though Václav Havel, the president, soon lost much of his aura, many Czechs now seem to have begun appreciating his role in shaping their nation's recent history. Jiří Pehe again.
The real danger for Václav Havel is not that in the Czech national memory he will remain what he is now, or the way he is seen now by many Czechs, but that he will, in a way, jump over the realm of history and wind up in the realm of mythology.
A podle litery paragraf šable, teď dumej o právu Havlíčku Havle.
Political commentator and Václav Havel's one-time advisor Jiří Pehe ending that report by Jan Richter. Moving on now, on Wednesday, October 5th, history came round full circle in Prague as a bronze statue of US President Woodrow Wilson was unveiled outside the city's main railway station. The original 3.5 meter tall monument by Czech-American sculptor Albin Bolášek was funded by Americans of Czech and Slovak descent and erected on the 4th of July of 1928. It was pulled down by the Nazis 70 years ago, and a restored copy has just been re-erected by the non-profit organization, the American Friends of the Czech Republic. Pavla Horáková was at the venue.
Hundreds of guests and onlookers applauded as the white veil fell off the larger-than-life bronze statue outside Prague's main station, formerly named after the US president. In attendance were Czech and American dignitaries, Czech President Václav Klaus and his predecessor Václav Havel, former US Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, the ambassadors of the two respective countries, as well as other officials. Woodrow Wilson, who was president of the United States from 1913 to 1921, was instrumental in the process of the establishment of Czechoslovakia in 1918. Ms. Albright looked back on his impact on world politics.
In an era when other leaders saw a global chessboard with the imperial powers as players and everyone else as pawns, Wilson put forward an astonishing idea. He believed that laws should apply equally to big nations and to small, and that every country had a duty to defend this principle. Because of Wilson's credibility and the power of his arguments, the old order crumbled and a new era came into being.
The statue to Woodrow Wilson was destroyed by Nazi invaders on the 12th of December 1941, a day after Germany declared war on the United States. After the end of the Second World War in 1946, Jan Masaryk, the son of the first Czechoslovak president T.G. Masaryk, dedicated a special plaque to commemorate the destroyed monument. Fred Malek, the chairman of the American Friends of the Czech Republic, quoted Jan Masaryk's prophetic words.
From 1928, there stood on this place a monument in honor of Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States of America. The monument was destroyed by the Germans in 1941 and will be re-erected by Americans of Czech descent in the United States of America. How prophetic was he?
As it turned out, a long 60 years after that, in 2006, the American Friends of the Czech Republic embarked upon the project to re-erect the monument, which has now been unveiled. The U.S. Ambassador to the Czech Republic, Norman Eisen, spoke of the statue as a symbol of a long-lasting friendship between Czechs and Americans.
The monument that stood here was one not only to a great American president, but also a monument, a symbol that recognized the close and lasting ties between our two nations. That monument recognized the many people who left here, who moved and settled in the New World, and who made the United States a better country. The monument also recognized those such as myself, Fred, Madeline, and all of the friends, American Friends of the Czech Republic, who have come here from every corner of the United States, who have the privilege to come back to their ancestral homelands.
The statue to Woodrow Wilson is not the first such endeavor of the American Friends of the Czech Republic. In 2002, they commissioned the renewal of a statue to President Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk in Washington, D.C.
My thanks to Pavla for that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's time to go places with Christian Falvey.
I had never really been inside or had a proper look around, but I was sure the small church of St. Martin in the Wall would have an interesting story, if for no other reason than its ancient appearance and peculiar name. Just off the central Národní třída is a classic Prague alleyway that's tucked away from the shopping boulevard, neatly dividing the centuries from one another, and there you'll find it. One of the oldest churches in the city, St. Martin in the Wall is one of those relatively few landmarks whose story can transport you all the way back through the ages to the beginnings of the Czech metropolis. In the 1100s, this was not yet Prague, but one of the small villages among the fields that supplied the growing trade center with material goods. In the middle was a chapel, a small rotunda which was eventually made into a Romanesque church and dedicated to the, even then, ancient Roman Saint Martin. The village was then called Újezd Svatého Martina. To find any remnant of that long-lost place, you'll have to go down to the cellar of the church, probably in the company of its friar, Mikuláš Vymetal.
Tady je ten nejstarší architektonický prvek, románský sloupek.
This is the oldest architectural element left here, a Romanesque pillar. There is a tomb in what was originally the floor, and these arches in the walls, also from the Romanesque period, go from the circumference of the old rotunda under the church here. There was a wooden ceiling here until the 1980s, when a student of theology queuing up to take communion fell through the floor and got stuck. They came and told him as he was stuck in the floor that God apparently didn't want him to take the Eucharist. Theology students can be very moralistic.
This is just one Romanesque pillar, half of one rather, but it's part of what I think is the most interesting thing about this church, its bizarre union of items from across the ages, many of which make absolutely no architectural sense in their modern context, like windows leading to nowhere, or the iron door in the side of the structure set 2 meters off the ground.
To je pozůstatek po době, kdy to bylo vlastně propojeno s vedlejším domem.
The door there is a remnant of the time when the church was connected to an adjoining building. In 1784, the church was visited by Joseph II, who was making wide-ranging structural reforms. He decided it was damp, decrepit, and unhealthy, and so he had it vacated. Buildings were built onto it, and the whole complex was used as a storehouse, a pub. Stories were built into it, and residential apartments were made upstairs, while the bottom floor was used for workshops. So the adjoining building was torn down, and the architect reconstructing the church in the early 20th century just decided to keep the door as an embellishment, even though it didn't lead anywhere. You can see there isn't even a hole for a door handle.
Rozhodl to jako použít architektonicky, přestože se těma dveřma nebude chodit. Tady z té strany není vidět ani žádná díra na kliku.
All the anomalies in the walls of the church in the wall have their own stories that tell of different eras of the building's 900-year history. Like the walled-up window in the eastern wall. For some time the church had a wealthy patron from the Holetz family of the 15th century, who built himself a private bridge between his neighboring home and the upstairs oratory of the church, so he could go to Mass without really leaving his home. Near the bridge, Holetz made the curious aesthetic decision of adding the ridiculous statue of a child making monkey faces at the passerby below, assuming it doesn't have a more arcane explanation.
Ke kostelu patřila ještě škola a hřbitov. A v té škole bydlela jedna chudá vdova, která měla syna.
Attached to the church was a school, and in it lived a widow with a very naughty young son. One day, they say, a religious procession was passing down the alley and a crowd of people was standing by to watch, and the boy climbed up on the roof and started making nasty faces at the priests. His mother was aghast, and when she yelled at him, he stuck his tongue out at her. So she got very angry and screamed, "You little dragon, I wish you would turn to stone." And at that moment, it happened.
Plémě dračí, bodejš bys skamenělo. V tu chvíli se to stalo.
Less clear is what was done to the little owl perched at the top of another wall around the corner to make it turn to stone. The seemingly random animal statue isn't very noticeable and therefore apparently isn't mentioned in any guidebooks, but it's probably the key to the statue of the boy as well.
To není papoušek, když se na ní podíváte. Sova je jinak symbolem neštěstí, mohlo by to připomínat.
I'm not sure it isn't a parrot when you look at it more closely. But the owl is a symbol of bad fortune and maybe a commemoration of the plague, because old Prague legends say the hooting of the owl announces death. But in any case, Gothic-era sculptors always try to express churches as representations of the entire world, and even the devil has a place in the world. So these expressions are usually found somewhere on the roof, as with gargoyles, and here we have them as statues and the faces of fools.
Jsou někde na střeše v podobě těch hrličů, a tady to máme jako sochy, a pak uvidíte ještě obličeje, které spíš připomíná nějaký šašky.
Continuing around the outside of the church in this direction, you'll come to the explanation for its full name, St. Martin in the Wall, as you look up at the 13th century tower with its 17th century belfry. When Prague's city walls were constructed in the early 1200s, they were planned to cross the church, leaving the two options of either tearing it down or incorporating it. The city's defensive walls were therefore built straight into the side of the building, with the church peeping out of the side, and the tower was built as a watchtower. All of these features, and many more, make a beautiful organic ensemble, the likes of which aren't to be found in too many places, even in Prague. There was a Gothic reconstruction in 1488. Other parts come from an earlier refurbishment under Charles IV. Baroque elements, like the fresco above the main portal, were added after a fire in 1678, and others still after the modern reconstruction of 1906. Layer upon layer of austere history, literally written into the walls.
V některých věcech se lidé nemění. Jsou tady
Zřejmě to byli žáčci, nebo to byl kůr, taky to byl.
Some things about people never change. This balcony where we're standing was a choir, and the students, when they got bored, apparently scratched things into the sandstone window frame here. Here you can see, Hic est Johannes, Jack was here. It's probably from the 16th or 17th century, when the school here was full of notoriously mischievous children. There were many complaints about them in the church chronicle. From 1522 it's written that they were stealing pigs from the neighbors and killing and eating them, and they even killed a servant who had chased them. Another one from 1611 says they beat up a woman, and the teacher defends them by saying the woman had slapped one of them first. Then they were actually punished on one occasion. The neighbors complained that they were writing love letters to their wives. This time they argued that the women had asked for the letters themselves, but as punishment they were locked in the chicken shed for 2 days, and the teacher was reprimanded.
Thankfully, St. Martin's main claim to fame is not its unruly schoolchildren, but its role in one of the most important movements in Czech, even European, history, with the onset of the Hussite movement and the beginnings of Protestantism. For Christian reformers since the 15th century, this is one of the places that a key moment in their revolution began.
A kostel je významný především tím, že je to jeden ze čtyř pražských kostelů, kde byla poprvé v Praze.
The church is significant primarily because it is one of the four Prague churches where Hussite doctrine was first pronounced in the autumn of 1414. Master Jan Hus was still alive but was in prison, and it was here that Jakobek ze Stříbra had the parson give the bread and the wine of the Eucharist to the lay people for the first time. Before then, only the priests could receive the wine or the blood of Christ. And because of this act, the chalice became a symbol of the Hussite Reformation and of Protestantism up to today.
Reformace a vlastně takovým symbolem, který pro mnoho lidí představuje evangelictví až do dneška.
Because of this act, the church in the wall became a famous Hussite monument and was spared their rampage. In fact, many a rich benefactor kept it well financed until the return to Catholicism under the Habsburgs. That is, before it was turned into a tenement-cum-public-house-cum-furniture-workshop. Knowing the varied history of St. Martin in the Wall, you can walk around it and see many other curiosities than those described here, and take in a huge amount of 900 years of Czech history.
That edition of Spotlight was prepared and presented by Christian Falvey. Now, in the remaining time we have, we're offering you another Czech lesson. In view of its enormous popularity, Radio Prague is currently repeating its Sound Czech miniseries, and today's Czech lesson is with Jan Richter.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's language program, where you can learn some interesting phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today we'll hear the song Doteky, or Touches, by Vladimír Mišík and his band ETC, from their 1987 album 4. And the phrase we'll listen to is Jak vejce, celej na měko. The operative word of the week in the Czech Republic is definitely vejce, egg, and eggs have been flying all over the place. The phrase sem z toho jak vejce celý na měko literally means I'm feeling all mushy like a soft-boiled egg. The trick, I'm afraid, only works in Czech, where the word na měko, mushy, soft or tender, is also used for soft-boiled eggs. But the actual expression na měko jak vejce, mushy like a soft-boiled egg, is a very innovative metaphor invented by the author of the lyrics, Jiří Dědeček.
Jsem
The song Doteky, or Touches, is about how impossible it is to resist when the narrator is touched by his beloved woman. It's no use to wrap myself in blankets, he says. I'll feel your touches all the same. That's why the singer feels all mushy, like a soft-boiled egg. But when we say someone is natvrdlý or hard, we mean he is dumb.
Jsem z toho jak vejce, celý na mě ko.
There are several Czech phrases and sayings revolving around eggs. When two people or things are very similar, you can say podobají se jak vejce vejci. They are as alike as two eggs, the Czech equivalent of two peas in a pod. To describe a very active and energetic child, for example, you can say je jak z divokých vajec. He is like he was born out of wild eggs. When someone or something is really delicate, you have to handle it like a painted egg, jako s malovaným vejcem. Unlike English, however, the Czech language does not use eggs to express the meaning of the phrase put all your eggs in one basket. In Czech, we would probably say sadit všechno na jednu kartu, or put all your money on one card.
Zaplišovej vrát. Na růžovej palouk a tam si budem hrát.
That edition of Soundcheck was with Jan Richter, and you will find the entire Soundcheck series at www.radio.cz, along with all of our programs in text and sound. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. As always, this is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.